back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, October 19th. It is time now for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Jason Zirbel of Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. Pastor Zirbel, welcome to His Time.
Hi. Good morning.
Thanks for being my guest this morning and joining us all the way from Arkansas. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning. Tell us about Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas.
All right. Well, we are a small, conservative, confessional Lutheran church. When I say small, it's probably small from the standards that most people think of Lutherans, like where I grew up in Wisconsin. You can throw a stone and hit a Lutheran church. Down here we have 70, 80 people on a Sunday, and small, but yet wonderful, full of very faithful Christians. We gather around Christ's Word and Sacrament every Sunday, and it's a privilege to be here.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Grace Lutheran Church, for the saints to gather around and receive those good gifts of God and carry that good news of Jesus into their neighborhoods, into their community, and so the world may know Jesus and His good news for them. We are in Matthew chapter 14 today, verses 22 through 36. Pastor, anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, just to set the context, really, looking at where this takes place, this is right on the heels of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And one important thing to remember is that, and you'll hear it come out in the text, the disciples are showing throughout. I kind of like to think of the disciples as like the Keystone Cops. They just keep getting it wrong. You know, with the feeding of the 5,000, they're the ones that go to Jesus and say, man, you got to send these people away. They want Christ to dismiss the crowds, and Jesus says, no, what do we got? And then they look around at meager rations, and they say, we can't do this. And he says, have them be seated. Well, then it's Christ, after the feeding of the 5,000, Christ dismisses the apostles, and he says, you go. And then Christ is the one who gives the benediction to the crowds. He dismisses them on his time, when it's right for him. And then notice Christ goes up on the mountain to pray, to spend time. You know, he needs time with his Father. Great example, great lesson for us, to Sabbath in Christ, to Sabbath in God. And that's when this takes place. The disciples, meanwhile, are trying to row across the lake and getting beaten down from the wind and the waves and everything. And Jesus goes out again to teach a wonderful lesson on faith in him.
All right, let's take a look at the text, Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. We're studying with Pastor Jason Zirbel of Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." All right, so here we have, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. What have we here, Pastor?
You have a wonderful benediction going on. You have, again, it's the end of the verse right before that. Those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children, and they had all eaten and they were all satisfied. Jesus now, we're working on our Lord's timeline and how he does things. And he says, now it's time to go. And immediately after this, go. He sends the disciples. He's got more things in store. And then he dismisses the crowds. And the dismissing of the crowds is interesting, too, because this is a lesson the apostles need to learn firsthand. I'm sure he could have taught the apostles there on land in front of the crowds, you know, about trusting in Christ. But I have a feeling that those apostles, especially like Peter, you know, full of zeal and kind of low on brains, I can really relate to him. I have a feeling they wouldn't have picked up on that lesson. They'd have been too busy looking at all the rest of the crowd saying, are you guys getting this? You know, so Jesus sends the crowds away and goes up to pray with his Father, and the Lord's will is about to be done in a very special, cool way.
So after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray.
Yeah.
Went to by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So he's up on the mountain to pray alone, and the boat moves further and further away.
Yeah, you know, even as you're reading that, I'm crunching this in my brain, and it's such a cool imagery to think about. You know, you have the revealed will of God, which is what he tells us in Scripture. Then you have the hidden will of God. Why does God do things the way he does? Why do certain things work out the way that we would never plan? And one of these, you know, we see our Lord go up and be with his Father, take Sabbath time with his Father. And do you not think that your Lord knows what's going on with the apostles down on that lake? You know, I mean, he knows exactly what's going on, and this is, it's strange to think. I think about it now, and your Lord knew what was going on, why he was sending them out, and what was about to transpire. And it was for a very good and godly reason.
And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. It's not every day somebody walks on the sea.
No. This is one of those wonderful things where you see this great miracle. I like to, actually, my Wednesday study here, we're going to be meeting in a couple hours. We've been talking about miracles. We've been studying John. And that Greek word is semeion, means sign. God is giving you a sign. God is, you know, picture God's finger coming down out of heaven and saying, here I am. Pay attention. This is me. I'm kind of, I don't want to say breaking in to your humanity, because it's like that would kind of give the impression that God isn't here among us always. But here is God kind of opening our eyes, you know, breaking the laws of physics, so to speak, and saying, look, I am right here always. Pay attention to me. So, yeah, we see our Lord out breaking the laws of physics and normalcy and walking on water.
But
and he did get their attention.
He did, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear.
Yeah. Isn't that something? God got their attention, but it's not exactly the attention that we would, you know, you wouldn't teach this in a VBS lesson and say, man, be just like these disciples. but, you know, that's how life works.
It is a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart. It is I.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
Take heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Take heart. What are some other good translations for that? Be of good cheer. Fear not. You know, I mean, I know we have that at the rest of there. Take heart, be not afraid, me phobos. Have no phobias. It's me. It's the I am. And one thing that is important to point out, the disciples, most of these guys were very experienced fishermen. They knew life, especially on that portion of the sea. Peter was from Capernaum, right there. That's where they were headed. They knew life on the sea. When did these guys become afraid? Only after they saw Jesus, not with the wind and the waves and the terrible. No, they became terrified only when they saw, or they thought they saw, a ghost.
Do not be afraid. We hear this quite a bit, especially in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Yeah.
Easier said than done, isn't it?
But when Jesus says something like this, when he says something in this form, and basically, in English, it's an imperative. I'm not sure what it is in the Greek, but, you know, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. When Jesus speaks these things, they also happen.
Yeah, it is a performative word, we mm-hmm. might say, like let there be.
Right. Verse 20, anything else before we go on to verse 28?
Well, just, I think one of the biggest things, it is I. The way that reads in the Greek is ego eimi, I am. It is I, the I am, which, these are good Jews, right? This is the God of Adam, Abraham, Moses. This is the God of creation. The same God, it works perfect. You bring up that performative word and we say, let there be. This is the same word that was, let there be, and there was. And this same word now is proclaiming, don't be afraid. Be at peace. It's me. It's I am.
And verse 28, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Oh, brother, we could have a month of Sundays of sermons on that. And they wouldn't be good either.
Let me read the rest of the paragraph, then we'll come back to verse 28. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?
No.
And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased and the boat and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. All right, let's go back to Peter's comment, verse 28. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Do you think Peter caught on to these performative statements? You know, when Jesus says, do not be afraid, and there's a reduction in fear, there's a peace, there's a calm. When Jesus says, you know, to the winds and the waves, be still, and it's still, you think Peter was catching on to these performative statements from Jesus?
You know, I like the way you word that question, because I never came at it in that way. I'll say this. I think the pendulum swung to the opposite extreme. Was Peter terrified? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he hears these words, but then again, very full of zeal, full of vigor, kind of low on brains, the pendulum swings to the other side, and he becomes very bold and very brash and not faithful. You know, if it is you, that's a conditional statement. And what he's doing, he's asking for proof. And this is why it's not right in the sense that your Lord gives those performative words, and that word should be enough. It is enough. It does what it says. But the word wasn't good enough for Peter. And Peter says, all right, I hear your word, but prove it. You know, and we frown on Thomas for doing the same thing. You know, I won't believe unless. Well, here's Peter in the boat doing the very thing. Prove it. You know, and really, if you want to think about it, kind of goes back to we hear similar language, similar vein of thought with Satan and the temptations. If you really are the Christ, prove it. Turn these stones into bread. Jump off the Temple Mount. If you really are the Christ, prove it. You know, and then at the end of Christ, if you really are the Christ, prove it. Save yourself and come down off that cross. We generally frown on all those statements, and yet for some unknown reason, we hold up Peter as an example. You know, this wonderful example. Get out of the boat like Peter did. No.
So he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus.
Yeah. Isn't that... You know, I have wrestled with this for a couple weeks now. And longer than that, even, I guess. But here is Peter expressing this great doubt. You know, making it known. If it is you, prove it. And your Lord says, come. And I think so often... We think of that as our Lord rewarding this great faith. And that cannot be it, because our Lord chastises, and we know the context of the story and what's going on here. Does our Lord let us make mistakes? You know, does our Lord let us fall on our face? And obviously we know the answers to those questions. Your Lord is not a tyrant. Can our Lord make us not sin? Yes, he could. But then he wouldn't be a loving and gracious God, would he? He'd be a tyrant. Your Lord does permit you to sin. That doesn't mean he wants you to sin. And again, you know, I don't want to go trespassing into the hidden will of God here. But I do know that, you know, all those guys in that boat needed a lesson on what true faith is. And maybe your Lord here is giving everyone a lesson on what not to do.
We need to take a quick break, Pastor.
Okay.
And when we come back from that break, we'll follow up with what happens with Peter as he engages with Jesus walking on the water. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Jason Zirbel of Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
You can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And it's even more critical when it comes to the history of God's redeeming grace in Christ. That's the conviction of Concordia Historical Institute, the Department of Archives and History of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For almost 90 years, we've been dedicated to collecting, cataloging, and showcasing the historical touchstones of Christ's grace and mercy in the life of the Lutheran Church. Help us in the fight against historical amnesia by becoming a member of CHI today. Benefits of CHI membership include our quarterly journal, newsletter, and discounts when you use CHI's research and reference services. You also receive the joy of knowing you're doing your part in preserving and proclaiming Lutheran history for generations to come. Moving Lutheran history forward together. Check us out at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Jason Zirbel of Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. We're in Matthew chapter 14, about to pick up at verse 30. But when he saw the wind, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me."
You know, there, I'm not going to say I think. I know. There's the lesson. You know, this is what it's all about. You know, it's as simple as these three words. There is repentance. There is faith. Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?"
Yeah, and the key word, we cannot, if you're following along in your Bibles, folks, underscore this word immediately. Underscore it multiple times. Jesus immediately reaches out. He doesn't, there's no quid pro quo, which, you know, well, what are you going to do for me? Or first you have to do this, and then I'll see, or, you know, let me take a look at your heart, and
do you really mean it?
You know, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately takes hold of him, picks him up in his arms. You know, that's... Now, there is a word of law. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, it's, you know, he doesn't say no faith. And I don't want to get into this well, how much faith do you need to get into heaven? We don't want to play that game, you know. But it's clear here Peter has little faith. Why did you doubt? Doubt is never a good word. I think a good question to ask is what doubt, you know, what time frame is Jesus referring to? I think people we automatically go to this, Peter looked and he took his eyes off of Jesus and he saw the wind and the waves, and that's when he began to doubt. You know, this isn't normal. This isn't how things are supposed to be. That's true. You know, there is certainly that aspect, but that's the second doubt. There's a doubt that comes before that, because remember, Jesus says, take heart, it's I, be not afraid, you know, I'm not a ghost, it's me, the I am, I'm right here. That word wasn't good enough for Peter. He doubted already then. If it is you, prove it. So there's a lot more to this than, you know, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And, you know, not just to get exegetical on this, this is very present tense reality for us, too. How often do we doubt? You know, and your Lord's word pierces the darkness, the storms, the tumult, the winds of you know, the chaos of life. I don't want to get all political here, but everyone talks about the election going on. Yeah, we live in a fallen and sinful world. You are to be in the world, but not of the world. And yet your Lord's word pierces out from all this chaos. He says, take heart, it's I. Don't be afraid. I'm in control. I'm with you always. Do we listen, you know, or do we doubt?
And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
Isn't that cool? I love that. I know every VBS, every Sunday school, we can pick up quite easily on the imagery of the iconography of the boat is the church. Yes. And where is Christ leading this doubter, this sinner, this one of little faith, back into the boat? And where, you know, I think it was Walther. I'm not sure. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Missouri Synod. I think it was him. Don't hold me to it. But I'm pretty sure he's the one who had the quote that where Christ stands, the devil must flee. Well, there's a whole lot of truth to that. You know, where Christ is, there is peace. You have nothing to fear. And Christ gets into the boat. He's in this ark with his people. What have you to fear? And the wind and the waves cease. Even the wind and the waves, this chaos obeys the Lord. Flees. It's just this awesome imagery. Now, this idea that truly you are the Son of God, again, this takes us back. This is a great bookend. Because if you remember at the beginning, Christ goes up on the mountain, the Son goes up to speak with the Father, to listen to the Father. So Matthew gives us this great imagery of the Son going to talk to the Father, and then at the end we have the apostles, they get it finally. You really are the Son of God. You weren't just up on the mountain meditating or doing something like that. You really are the Son of God. This is, you know, you see the light bulbs go on. It's just wonderful, wonderful, praise God kind of faith here.
Anything else before we go on to verse 34, Pastor?
If you're going to give me time, I could go on for hours. We should probably just move on.
Okay. Verse 34 and following. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well.
Yeah.
So they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and the men of that place recognized him, sent around all that to all at that region, and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment to be made well.
Yeah, boy, can you see this outstanding contrast in faith? And this comes up throughout the Gospels, too. You know, your Lord has said many times, I have never seen such a faith in all of Israel as this schlep. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Here we have the people of the region of Gennesaret, and can you see great evangelism taking place? I mean, this is vocational evangelism. In your going, be teaching, be spreading the word of God. And they find out God is here. Here is the Lord. They recognize him. This is the Lord of life. And they send out word to everyone. Come, 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 come. And the people come. All they trust in this Lord of life so powerfully, just even to touch the hem of his garment, the fringe of his garment, would make us well. Would save us, would be another good way of saying this. We see that throughout Scripture, too. This great translation, to be made well, to be healed, to be saved.
That's what I was going to ask. What does this phrase, made well, mean here? I get, when I look at different translations, I see different phrases. One says, be made well. Another one, as many as did touch were saved.
Yeah. Well, the root word that you'd see in there is sozo. If we're looking in the Greek, they were sozoed. Our English translation can sometimes be so poor. I'll give you a little hint. Most of the times when you're reading in Scripture, and like the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years or any of these instances, your faith has made you well. You know, the 10 lepers, your faith has made you well. What your Lord is saying there is your faith has saved you. That's actually what the wording is. And it's sad. Sometimes we translate that as made well, and we just hit on the physical side. Or I think people just pick up on the physical side of it, and they miss the truly important side of it. Your faith has saved you. And that's, looking here, as many as touched, you know, and they're touching, they're reaching out with this, with these eyes and hands and ears of faith. As many as reached out to Christ were saved. Notice there's no quota, there's no contingencies or conditions. As many as reached out to Christ and held fast to him, they were saved. That's it.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Matthew chapter 14 today?
Well, as a whole, looking over it, I think the main, if there's one takeaway, hold fast to the word of God. And it's a word that you don't just hear in your ears or read in your Bibles. Your Lord, he knows our propensity to doubt. He knows we wear sinful flesh. He knows our weaknesses, our tendencies to be terrified and phobic and afraid, especially when the wind and the waves of life kick up. And your Lord takes this very performative, powerful word and speaks it into your ears through his means of grace, through the words of the pastor, through the, you know, through vocational words of one Christian to another. He puts it very real and tangibly in his sacraments. Trust these words. Trust this word of God. Hold fast to this word. You don't have to put God to the test and say, well, if you really do mean it, prove it. Hold fast to the word. And be at peace.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Jason Zirbel of Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas. Pastor Zirbel, thanks for being our guest, helping us look at Matthew chapter 14 today, verses 22 through 36. Thanks for getting out of the boat and walking on some water with us.
You're welcome.
God's peace to you and all the saints there at Grace Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Arkansas.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday, we'll check in with Pastor Mark Whitty's out on the road. We'll have a chance to check in with him. He is at the LCMS National Disaster Response Conference. We'll touch base with him and talk about, well, Witness Topics. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.